Ladies and gentlemen, be upstanding for Laura Tingle. Laura, so much is happening. Can you tell us about the new cabinet appointed at the weekend?
Oh, well, it's an interesting one, Philip. It sort of reflects, I mean, it's a natural extension of where we've got to with politics, I suppose, which is, the Prime Minister's now just trying to settle everything down after the election. Everybody's sort of been patching up their differences in Parliament House, and he's put together a cabinet which is essentially got all the same players in the really big jobs like Treasury, Foreign Affairs, Attorney General, all that sort of stuff. But there have been some tweaks which have meant that there are a lot more women in the cabinet, a record number of women. The first Indigenous person to hold the Indigenous Affairs portfolio has been appointed.
Forgive me for interrupting, but that's one appointment which has been met with universal approval.
Ken Wyatt's appointment? Yes, I think that's right. I think they're all really good things, the Prime Minister's emphasising that he wants to focus on service delivery, and that means trying to make the NDIS work better, trying to get all those things like childcare support and all those sorts of sort of services that people get frustrated about to function better. So he's starting on a very practical level, but there've been a few important symbols put out there, which I think, apart from anything else, do sort of give a little bit of ground to the sort of place that Labor was trying to pull the country a bit on, things like Indigenous Affairs. But having said that, things like constitutional recognition, the issue of a voice for Indigenous Australia, this being Reconciliation Day, Philip, so they're relevant points, they're still in the works somewhere and a bit further down the track.
Also in the works is the move of Arthur Synodinos to Washington. Now, I must say, that's a hell of a comeback for Arthur, who not so long ago was embroiled in a bit of a scandal with Sydney Water.
Well, he was, but I don't think anything ever really stuck to Arthur on that. I think I actually have a great regard for Arthur Synodinos amongst the constellation of people that you strike in Canberra, and I think it's a really good appointment. Whatever the question about jobs for the boys might be, he's a very good person to put into that job. The question is, can the Morrison government spare him from here? Because he's a great strategist, he's a great policy person, and I think the cabinet is weaker for him not being in it.
What about Mitch Fifield getting the UN?
Yes, well, that's a little bit less clear. The Prime Minister insists that Mitch Fifield was keen to move on, but of course one of the arrangements that comes about from these two appointments, Philip, is it magically opens up two Senate vacancies, which helps reduce the tensions in the Liberal Party before and since the election. And the expectation is that Jim Molan, who you might recall, was somewhat unpleased about being dropped off the Senate ticket to an unwinnable position and then kicked up a stink, which created all sorts of troubles with the Nationals, is sort of expected
to get personally terribly thrilled about this.
I knew you would be, Philip. And Sarah Henderson, who lost the seat of Corangamite down Geelong way, announced today that she would be nominating herself for the Senate vacancy that would be coming up when Mitch Fifield presumably goes off to the UN in a couple of months' time.
If I might swing the spotlight across to what's left of the opposition, I note that Albo was the only candidate left standing.
He was, and I think this is one of the really interesting developments out of the fallout of this election campaign, Philip. And the part of the reason for that was, you'll remember that when Bill Shorten became leader, it was because there was the new process that Kevin Rudd had set up, where there was going to be a contested leadership ballot. The party membership got to have a say in it, but the caucus also got to have a say. Albo won the popular vote, but Shorten had the numbers in the caucus. Now, this time round, with, shall we say, the authority of everybody knowing that he had that popular support, which probably hadn't changed, Anthony Albanese essentially sort of said, well, I'm running, and the right will just have to work out what they're going to do about it. It's the right faction. It all got a little bit almost threateningly unpleasant because the word went out that Bill Shorten was going back to being a faction man and organising against Albo for the right. And we had this really interesting thing happen where the sort of really sane heads in the parliamentary party, Tony Burke, who of course is from the New South Wales right, Penny Wong, who's an incredibly well-regarded Senate leader, and others, made it clear that this was not a good way of maintaining the regard that former Labor leaders normally have. And I think it essentially broke up the support base in the right, because it looked like the right would split. So we saw Chris Bowen first put his hand up and then put it down again. Jim Chalmers do the same. So it ended up being an uncontested ballot, which I think is a really great outcome. And people within the caucus have said to me, apart from anything else, we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just seen as yet another dirty right-left brawl and deal. And so not only do we have a leader from the left emerging, which is pretty unusual, but we have one who's had support across the factions, or at least parts of the factions, and it isn't sort of just a trade-off, though, of course, it looks like somebody from the right will get the deputy's job.
I would have been handing out how to vote cards for Penny Wong, except for the small problem of her being in the Senate and not wanting the job.
That's right. And while a lot of us have the most immense regard for Penny Wong, we also have the most immense respect for her, knowing that it's not the world's most pleasant job being the party leader.
So Albo thinks his most difficult task is to convince us that Labor is ready to govern. Doesn't Scott Morrison also have that problem?
Look, I think, that's a really interesting way of putting it, Philip. I hadn't thought of it that way. I think Scott Morrison has really got to sort of reset the clock and say to people, look, yes, it's all been a bit unpleasant. Yes, we knifed a Prime Minister. Yes, we're all very divided. Yes, we had a lot of policies which we couldn't actually sort of agree upon. So he's got the capacity to reset the clock, if you like. And Anthony Albanese's got a longer task. He's got 3 years to try to persuade people about that. And I think it's going to be interesting. I think if you think about where Labor ended up with its policy platform, it was very ambitious, and that was partly, and had all those extra taxes and things, and that was partly because, as I think we discussed last week, Bill Shorten needed that sort of policy sort of uniform to sort of counter or sort of embellish him, because he had this problem that people didn't like him. Didn't work, of course. And the thing that Albo's got going in his favour is most people do like him. Whether they embrace him as Prime Minister is the next big question.
I've always thought that journalists who cover elections should get those little service ribbons that you see generals and admirals, you know, wearing on their breast, but they're not available. What is available, however, and I don't think I've ever given you one before, is a koala stamp. So a koala stamp for Laura for her hard work during a very difficult time in Australian history. Laura being, of course, chief political correspondent for 7:30.